sitting on a bucket with a fishing pole. I'm dropping a line through an icy hole. I know you're down there. I know you're down there.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and our co-host today is a very special guest. We have Jason Grupp, who's also an accomplished angler and fishing guide. But we've got something very, very special right now. We have Jeff Currier. Jeff is, a globe-trotting angler, guide, and specializing in fly fishing anywhere and everywhere. But Jeff, let's go ahead and turn it over to you. Give us a quick idea about what you do. And, of course, it is jeffcurrier.com if somebody wants to get in touch. But just give us about 30 seconds rundown on what it is that you do.
Well, I'm been in the fly fishing business for about 25 years. All started behind the counter at a prominent fly shop in Jackson, Wyoming. And you get the opportunity to meet all the right people when you're in a great place like that. And my career's taken me to a lot of great places fly fishing, whether it's hosting trips for some of my old customers to a great destination or just meeting some people that want to bring me along. And not afraid to put a backpack on either and show up in a weird corner of the globe and try to catch one of the most rare fish on the planet. Love doing that.
What are some of the local waters that you're guiding mostly?
Well, you know, I actually don't guide anymore. I do more of what I'm doing now, the hosting trips, but I give people advice. I keep a really good blog, and I'll write about the local waters here. For instance, the waters that I was on earlier this week were some of the backcountry streams up in Yellowstone. Tomorrow I'll be going to the South Fork of the Snake, which is in Idaho, about 20 miles from where I live, close to the Henry's Fork. A lot of good stuff here.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump into what I really want to talk about. You fish You fish almost anywhere and everywhere. I guess it was fly fishing I was trying to say. And you've just got back, well, this year anyway, from a very unique place that very, very few people have ever actually, you know, fished or for sport fishing. Give us an idea what that was about.
Well, I went over to India to participate in a film, basically a 20-minute segment of our film that's called Waypoints by Confluence Films, and we fished for what I have to say is probably the rarest freshwater fish left on the planet. It's called the Mahseer, and what the Mahseer is, the world's largest carp, and he's found in the foothills of the Himalayas, and no better place than the foothills in the Himalayas of India.
Well, I think you stumped Jason on that one.
I've seen some documentaries on that fish before, and you know what were type of things that they're eating. I've seen some stuff where they will even eat some of the fruits that fall out of the trees. Is this true?
This is true, and let me actually add a little to that. There's, you know, Mahseer is the largest carp, and there are different species of Mahseer. So the ones that are really famous for eating the fruits that drop out of the trees is a species found in Thailand. The ones we're fishing for in the Himalayas are the golden Mahseer. And yeah, they'll come up and probably eat a fruit or a seed at a time, but usually they're feeding on the bottom of roaring rivers, eating nymphs, and eating smaller bait fish. But we catch them on big streamers.
What was the weight of some of these fish? How big did they get up to?
Well, there was a time when they, you know, before, you know, rivers got polluted and fish, you know, overfished, that they probably obtained 30 to 50 pounds on a regular basis. I believe a golden Mahseer can get about 75 to 80 pounds, but I doubt one's been caught that big in 50 years. So nowadays you get one that's between 10 and 25 pounds. That's an amazing catch. And if you get one like that on a fly rod, you are one lucky guy.
Okay. Well, let me, first of all, Jason, I've never ever heard of this fish, and you know how to fish for and what to eat. I should have known. But anyway, Jeff, give us an idea where you went, you know, what it's kind of like to be fishing in India and what you have to do to get to these world-class fish.
Well, anybody going to India has to mentally prepare themselves. If you've world-traveled but haven't been to India, get ready. You haven't seen it all yet. The place is, it's crazy. And what we do on this trip, you know, obviously a long trip from Idaho, usually I'll go over to the East Coast and then fly to Europe and then to Delhi, and that's what I did this year. Then we took a 10-hour train ride almost straight north, slightly east, up to the foothills of the Himalayas, into basically we got off the train in a fairly small village, and then we got in a Jeep and rode for another 10 hours into the boonies. And in a couple of places, we actually were going over passes that were about 15,000 feet, and we could see the huge Himalayas in the distance. But then we went back down, and we started our trip probably at about 4,000 or 5,000 feet, and we floated a river for 250 miles for about 10 days.
God. No, I don't think you'll see me there this year. Wow, that's incredible. And then what is the terrain like? Do you have to, you know, crawl over rocks and things to get to the river?
It, you know, we're actually camped on the river, but you're doing a lot of hiking every day, and it's strenuous. You are climbing over rocks. I should add, a mahseer is truly one of the spookiest fish in the world. I mean, a false move, or you raise your rod too quick and they see the shine or something, they're out of there. So you are creeping into real precarious situations, real tough places to get a sneaky cast off to the fish. And it's also hot. I'll tell you what, it's averaging 90 to 100 degrees every day. So you got to be in shape. I train for a trip like this.
Gosh.
How long were some of the fights you had with these fish? Because these are huge fish. And we just landed a 17-pound carp on one of our local lakes here, and we chased that fish for, you know, almost 10 minutes. Were you chasing these guys down the river?
Oh, yeah. And first of all, we don't catch many. In a 10-day trip, we probably caught 20 fish, and only two were real big ones. I got a couple fish that were in that 20-pound range. But it is an unbelievable fight. It sounds like you're familiar with carp, and yeah, they tear you up. Imagine that carp in a whitewater scenario and add a few pounds to them. They are just unbelievable. And we're using 10 weight rods, and it's all you can do to get them in.
Yeah, that was my next question. What weight fly rod you were on? So you're all the way up to a 10 weight with floating lines, I assume.
Mostly floating. You know, there's definitely some deep holes. You want to, you know, I go that far, I'm going to bring everything. So maybe I would dredge a little bit with a 200 or 300 grain line, but It is mostly floating line, and I actually, on this trip, was lucky enough to sight fish to a few fish because we had some low water, and I got one to come up and eat a Chernobyl Anna on my 8-weight. That was, even though it was, that fish was only an 8-pound fish, it was truly one of the more exciting moments of the trip.
Jeff, what about the people? Do you have guides, and what are the people like? Do they think you're crazy for trying to do what you're doing?
They definitely think we're crazy because these people are really living in their own world. You know, they don't get news up to where we were fishing. They don't probably know where America is if you threw out a map. I mean, they're really out there, and they're probably. I mean, I think they live comfortably. I won't say they're struggling to survive. They live in a gorgeous place. They have a lot of farming going on, but they look at us and they must be like, these guys are actually chasing fish as a hobby. How do you have time to do that? Why would you do that?
Right.
So yeah,
and then you let them go.
Strange,
yeah.
Book.
Mm-hmm. And but they don't have a problem with you doing what you're doing up there?
Well, I won't go that far. There was okay. My favorite spot to fish actually on that trip was under a temple, and there were some people in there at the temple praying at times, and I actually got one of the bigger fish of the trip under the temple. And when we were landing this fish, of course, we wanted to film it. You know, it's hard to get a big one, and we're going to take advantage of it. And I treat my fish very, very carefully. I mean, we never took the fish out of the water. But I do recall some of the locals, and then when I say a temple, there were probably 10 people in this temple at a time at the most. But they were on the top of this temple screaming at me to let this fish go, like I was harming or a creature they love.
Right. That's very interesting. Well, what an exciting adventure. Now,
incredible.
And besides India, of course, you do a lot of other things, and I think we'll have to bring you back on and cover some of the other stuff, I think, that you mentioned, you know, fishing in South America and pretty much all over. So if someone wants to get some real excitement about some rarefied fishing, they want to go to the website, of course, is your name. Excuse me. And that would be Jeff Currier, C-U-R-R-I-E-R. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, jeffcurrier.com. That's an easy one.
Yep.
Okay.
Just go to my blog.
Exciting. Thank you, Jeff. We really appreciate that, and we'll be looking forward to talking to you.
Thank you, guys.
You
bye-bye.
Betcha. Boy, that was pretty interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, what a neat story, even getting one of those fish to come to the surface.
There you go. Okay, Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back with you. Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040. 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
Strike baits catch more fish. Formulated from years of research and development, our dough baits trigger the instincts of fish to strike. Packaged to eliminate air that drives the bait out, the tube means you never have to put your finger in the bait. One squeeze loads your hook with state-of-the-art attractants for even the most elusive trout. Engineered and made in the USA, visit strikebaits.com. Strike baits, the next generation of trout baits.
Bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. Bad day fishing just better than a good day.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Jeff Grupp. And we have another, if you listen to that last guest, we've set the bar pretty high for this show. We've got another very interesting angler. Well, I guess you do fish too, don't you, Jeff? But or Billy. But Billy operates a lodge in a very unique place. That, you know, it's becoming very popular, but still I don't think a lot of people in the United States have heard about it, let alone been there. So, Billy, why don't you go ahead and give us an idea what that's all about?
Well, my name is Billy Chapman, and I'm the founder and owner of Anglers International, and we stock Lake Alfalfa. We had a vision to create a catch-and-release lake with 100% pure Florida-strained bass. So me and my father, Bill Chapman Sr., Junior, we brought in the fish from Houston, flew them down private plane, Florida strain, and had a brand new lake that the Mexican government just put in for irrigation purposes. And boy, did they take off. They just exploded. And so we it took 5 years from 85 to 1990 for the fish to reach 10 pounds, which is just unbelievable. We averaged 2 pounds of growth a year. And that's all because it's a new lake. It was a new lake. And we've never looked back since. We've been fishing the lake for close to 23, 24 years straight through. It's been rated as one of the top or the best bass lake in the world. And that's a pretty large statement, but we've run over 20,000 clients through our doors in the last 22, 23 years. And it's consistently pumping out 7 to 13-pound bass.
Now, and, is that... basically, is that all you do is fly fish for bass, catch and release?
It's catch and release. We established catch and release in the year 2000. So for 13 years now, all big fish, all fish have gone back to the lake. I'll come back a little bit, but we put the fish in 85, opened the lake in 1990, and with a 2-pound, 1.75-pound growth rate a year, because it's so far south, you know, we do have fly fishermen come in as well. We fish we're fly fishing October, November, December. That's when the fish are shallow. And that's the only time we bring down fly fishermen, because they can catch them on top, and that's your best topwater fishing bite. But being 100% Florida strain, they just grew bigger. Because Mexico, a lot of the Mexican lakes have a native bass, and they max out at like 7-8 pounds, where the Florida strain just exploded, like I said, down there. And the lake record today is 18.8, and that was caught from a customer from Midland. Majority of our clients are conventional bait caster fishermen, you know, hardcore, but We've been running consistently for all these years, and it's just been one of those lakes that just never quits, and I believe it's because of the catch and release. There's 160 commercial fishermen on our lake, and what we did was, years ago, we said, look, you know, if you don't touch the bass, we'll compensate you and just go after the tilapia. And it produces tons and tons of tilapia every year. And we have a forage fish year-round, so that's why the bass grow so big and so fast.
Would they eat the tilapia?
They spawn 2-3 times a year. They carry their fry in their mouth. And once they get past, what a lot of people don't understand, if you don't take those tilapia out, they'll take over the lake because they'll get about 4 inches wide, 5 inches wide in 6 to 8 months. And then a 12-pound bass can't, it doesn't have any
predators. Yeah.
You know, there's no more predators for that tilapia.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to take the tilapia out commercially.
Interesting.
And you can do that in a way that you don't affect the bass. So for that reason, El Salto is number one in Mexico.
Well, a couple of quick questions. First of all, it sounds like you've got the cooperation originally and still do of the Mexican government.
No, to tell you the truth, it wasn't so much the Mexican government. It was the locals, the commercial fishermen that you had to cut the deal with. Mm-hmm. You know, the Mexican government can only do so much, but if the locals want to take the bass, they can take them.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to work with the commercial fishermen saying, look, there's a future here where your son could be a tourism guide and work tourism and release all these fish back. We'll all have a job next year, and you're not depleting your big fish population. And then at the same time, you can commercial fish 8-9 months out of the year for tilapia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the only lake in, of all the lakes in Mexico, and I've been on just about every one over the past 35 years, that has this system in place. And it's the model for all other lakes. Because if you can, like I said, once that tilapia gets over 4 inches, just, you know, spread your fingers out. I don't care if that bass is 12, 13, 15, 18 pounds. It can't eat that tilapia, and that tilapia knows it.
They got a big mouth, but not that big.
exactly.
I'll tell you, I've been to that lake about 10 times, and there are a lot of bass in that lake. And I've easily averaged 40 to 100 bass a day per guy with my groups. My last trip down there, we caught over, per guy, I caught over 20 fish over 7 pounds. There are some huge bass in there with amazing numbers. So obviously your system's working.
Yeah, well, it's been proven too, Jason. You know, it's been over 22 years. And now the other Mexican lakes would like to get this program in place, but you know, the good thing was that we got to start it right from the beginning and educated the commercial fishermen that, you know, this will work for tourism and your families. And they also get a percentage of the package. So when they're not commercial fishing for 4 months and there's Americans and gringos catching bass, they're making money.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense to them. And, you can go down and the nets are, depending on the size of the mesh of the net and all that, how that works, you won't take a bass. We kill more fish. Like if I have 40 clients at the lodge and we do many days,
mm-hmm.
you'll kill more fish on catch and release than you will ever catch in those nets. And that's hard to believe until you actually see it.
Hmm.
And that's just a matter of the customers keeping the fish out too long, taking too many photos of their their record fish, you know. So the fishing is a lot different in Mexico than it is in California. You're more about finesse, you know, a lot of finesse fishing going on. We're about ripping their lips off, them out of the trees. And fishing, you can't fish El Salto with less than 17-pound test line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when you get a bite with your breed of fish down there, you just hang on to your rod.
Would you use microfiber?
You can use braid, but I use mono a lot. It's a lot more fun to fish with. But I fish nothing less than 17, usually 20. When you set the hook on those bass down there, just hang on to your rod. They pull so hard and so ferocious. And I've never fished a place like El Salto where the bass are just mean and huge. It's a lot of fun.
You know, we had so this was a banner year for El Salto. May, June, and July, we averaged a 7-pound average. So if you were to go fish, weigh 20 fish in, 5 fish a day for 4 days, it was a 7, even higher. I could say 8, but I'm going to keep it honest at 7. I mean, where can you go and have a 7-pound average?
Well, you know, I don't even know if you could have a bass tournament down there under those conditions because it's so completely different than everything else. Could you do that, Jason?
Oh, yeah, and he's had some tournaments. You've had a lot of big names there this year and the previous years. And, you know, I also wanted to mention that, you know, there's a lot of problems in Mexico, but you're still pumping a lot of anglers with no problems at all. And the way you've got your system to set up to get the people to the lake and to keep them safe down there, it doesn't seem to be any problem to go down to Mexico.
To be honest with you guys, you know, the last 5 years has been a nightmare with that drug war, you know?
Yeah.
And here's the bottom line. If you're not in the drug business, go to Mexico.
stay away from the borders. The borders are dangerous, you guys, no matter if you're in the drug business or not.
Yeah.
But when you're, you know, flying over to 10,000, 15,000 feet, you're fine.
Right. Well, if you, go ahead.
We have run over 5,000 clients through our doors the past 5 years. And to just to mention a few, who's been down with me? Bassmaster, Western Outdoor News has been down twice, done two feature stories. ESPN, Outdoor Channel. Actually, we have a great show. If anybody can get a chance to see our show tomorrow night, Joe Thomas, Real in the Outdoors, Outdoor Channel. Tomorrow night is a show that he made a month ago on El Salto. If you can catch it, that's a show to see.
Jeff,
that will tell the story.
Give us a quick idea. We're running out of time. But give us a quick idea about what surrounds the lake, what the area is like, where it is in Mexico, and how do you get there?
You fly into Mazatlan, one of the oldest resorts in Mexico. And there is a direct flight from L.A. You fly in. We pick you up at the airport. The ground transfer is included in this package. You're looking at an hour and 40 minutes to the lake. If the average guy stays four nights, 3.5 days, and then we return you and put you back on the plane. All-inclusive, open bar. Mm-hmm. We have brand-new Abu Garcia rods and reels, pro shop.
Mm-hmm.
We're really known for our service. Unfortunately, I was pretty lucky. I got inducted to the Fishing Hall of Fame in 2009, and to be honest with you, it wasn't for what I've done on catch and release in the Amazons and 35 years of outfitting. It was my staff.
Gotcha.
And I'll put my staff, and Jason knows that.
Your staff.
Your staff
is amazing, and just an incredible place. Your boats are great. Your guides are great. Everything's just top-notch.
Well, now, Billy, what is the name of your lodge?
Anglers Inn. If they'd like to find us, you go to anglersinn.com.
Mm-hmm.
AnglersIn.com, or go to, I highly suggest go to AnglersIn.tv.
Just
punch in AnglersIn.tv, and you can see all the video that has been shot this past season, and check out the fishery reports. They're all video-based, coming right from the customer, not from us, not from me, from the customer.
Well,
catch that show tomorrow night.
Sounds too good to be true. And the area
tomorrow
that you're in is
on.
It's a nice area to be in also.
Beautiful, beautiful zone. It's tropical. The lake is 24,000 acres when it's full, which is October 1st.
Gotcha. Okay,
it will
be pulled
down to about 18,000 acres by June.
Billy, we got to go, and it is anglersin.com or anglersin.tv. Thank you, Billy. We appreciate that. We're going to be back with you soon.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Goldfish, muskie, rainbow, brook trout, brown trout, steelhead, catfish, dogfish, wolffish, bullhead, halibut, hake, permit, cobia, pickerel, skate, sturgeon, lamb.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have Jason Grupp as a co-host who is helping out today. We appreciate that, Jason. Right now we have Kayleen on the line from Lake Shasta. And we're going to see if what the report is up from Lake Shasta. So, Kayleen, why don't you give us a quick idea what's happening this time of the year at Shasta?
All right, John. First, hi. How are you guys doing today?
Okay.
Right now up here, the water level we had discussed on your break is low right now. But there are benefits to that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the California lakes have been hit by this, and we're still catching fish.
Yeah, it seems like the fish are, there's less water, so the fish are all staying close, you know, tight next to each other. So there's a benefit to that. Right now there's plenty of shoreline camping. I think a lot of people don't realize that just because we have the low lake level, there is still plenty of water in the lake to go swimming, fishing, any of the recreational stuff, you know, can still happen up here. So I don't want that to scare anybody off just because we're saying it's low levels.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful area up there. You want to give us an idea kind of where exactly it's located?
Up here at Shasta Lake, we're between Mount Shasta and Redding.
You know, you've got the McLeod River and all those other amazing rivers up there. Are they still doing okay with the water levels?
Yeah, I mean, the McLeod Arm, you know, runs into the lake, so it's constantly running into there, feeding it water. So it's looking good still.
Do you have a population of bass in Shasta, or is it strictly the trout that's going on in there?
No, we have big mouth bass still, you know, and the reports are still got it good on those, too.
Now, you talked a little bit about the water levels, and we've seen throughout the West, of course, right now in the West has had a lot of forest fires, but throughout the West, it's been a dry year. The lakes are down, and that sounds like a bad thing, and I guess in some ways it is because you've got less water surface that you're going to be out on. But it also, to my mind, looking at the positive, is you've got a lot more beach area, don't you?
Exactly. You can find a camping spot anywhere on Shasta.
There you go. And what's it like?
It's such a big lake.
Yeah. Is it, are the banks now, instead of having to, you know, hide up in the trees and rocks, you can go right down to the water.
Exactly.
But is it muddy or is it sandy or rocky? Or?
You know, right now the weather's keeping it pretty dry. So it is rocky, but you can find the areas definitely if you're looking for a spot to camp.
Well, and I'm going to ask Jason a question because I'm not really sure I know the answer. I would like to think that if you have a body of water and you reduce the water with the same amount of fish in it, they're going to be concentrated and maybe hiding in certain pools.
It does concentrate them, but it also changes a lot of their habits where a lot of times they're relating to structure. When that structure, like on the edge of a lot of these lakes, you have tules and sunken trees and big rock piles, and these bass and whatnot will relate to the structure. Well, when you get low water levels, it will push them out into the middle of the lake, out onto the main lake points. It will suspend a lot of the fish. So you kind of have to change how you approach these fish because their habits change. So they're moving out into the middle of the lake. And so you just have to think differently from what you're normally used to. And on my guide trips, I've had to do that a lot because I've moved out from a lot of these coves and my good top water spots are gone. They're 100 yards up on shore. So you change what you do and get out on those main lake points and try and think like a fish.
Well, does the water going down, does it actually concentrate the fish? And when the water comes back in, does that deplete the fish?
You know, they'll move back up and they'll move into those coves if that water comes back. And, you know, when you do get these heavy storms and a lot of the water starts coming in and filling the lakes back up, it changes then too. So you just have to be flexible and think differently, think out of the box. Don't do what you're normally doing year after year with a high water level. Things are different. The fish are out on the main lake, hit those different points, look for the ledges, relearn the lake, get a good fish finder, start, you know, graphing and figuring out where these fish went. So think differently.
Kayleen, are you taking notes?
I got it. They're still there. It doesn't mean they jumped out, right?
Yeah, no. Unless they grew legs, they're still in the water. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about what you do up there. And, you know, as part of Cal Parks, it is one of the lakes that the Shasta has manages. Tell us a little bit about the what you have control over, which is the marina and maybe some of the lodging.
We take care of all the Forest Service campgrounds and the boat launches. So you can Google, you know, the U.S. Forest Service and look at the campgrounds out at Shasta, and we will be the ones taking care of you out there.
Great. Just out of curiosity, can you put a boat in the water with a low level like that?
You can. We still have plenty of docks open.
Okay.
So we've moved them around a little bit, and like you guys were just talking about, you got to adjust and make it work.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have probably moved on to a backup launch ramp at this point, and you know most of those lakes have 2-3 launch ramps as the water
right.
goes down. Do you guys have that as well?
We do, yes. Mm-hmm.
Also, when you're talking about the lower level, let's get a perspective on this. Do you know how much water is in the lake now? How at the deepest point, how would it be?
You know, we're 99 feet down.
Right now?
Yes.
Oh, you mean, no, down from full?
From the full, from the highest Whoa. Point, we're 99
You're
feet
You're talking
down.
About lake that's, depth, that's a, not
that's,
shoreline.
That's a 10-story building.
It's low, but it's definitely not even close okay. to our lowest.
Okay. Well, do you have any idea, but there's still, what is there, another 10 feet left or 100 feet, or do you have any idea?
We got a lot. I think our lowest, our last lowest year was in 08, and it was down 150.
Oh, wow.
So we still have a lot to go.
Wow.
Are you guys using that lake for irrigation up there or bringing up some of the aquifers and whatnot?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. That's the Bureau of Land Affairs there.
Because some of the lakes here in you know, Central and Southern California use them to, you know, they're releasing water right now to bring up the aquifers and the well water for some of the farmers downstream. And so you guys are down a lot compared to some of the lakes around here.
We are quite a bit. But like okay. I said, there's still plenty of water in there.
Okay.
So
well,
get out on the lake.
Let's get on up there. Kayleen, give us an idea how to get in touch with you if we want to do that before we show up at your door.
Okay, it's trinitycamping.com, trinityshastacamping.com, sorry.
Okay.
Or you can call us at 530-275-8113, and we are here in the office Mondays through Saturdays
Fantastic.
To answer questions.
And you can also go to fishtalkradio.com, and over on the left-hand side, just click on that link. Kayleen, you keep getting better and better at this.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, now that's some interesting stuff.
It was. I didn't realize they were having such problems up north, that far north.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly not been a wet winter or wet year, but like I said, that doesn't mean there's no reason to go. It's still a beautiful area, and there's still plenty of fish there. Yeah, we talked in the last segment about El Salto, and boy, your eyes really lit up when we talked about that, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, that is such a special place down there, and I am passionate about that lake. Like I said, I've been there about 10 times, and it is just a whole nother ball game down there. Those bass are amazing, and I've never had a super slow trip. I think my slowest day down there, we're doing 30 or 40 bass a guy. You know, usually we're up in that 60 to 80-pound range.
You know, I'm not a passionate bass angler, to be honest with you. And I see these guys, you know, fishing the points, and they'll make 1,000 casts, at least in my mind. They make 1,000 casts for one fish. But it's got to be at least 100, right?
Yeah, you know, certain days are like that. Mm-hmm. And
My point is, in El Salto, that's not what you do.
It's not the case, you know. Yeah. And we're fishing a lot of deep water down there and dragging big 8- and 10-inch lizards and big power worms. And my favorite, you know, bait to fish down there is the old swim bait. And there's gizzard shad in there, and I'm imitating those with these big swim baits, 20-pound test swim bait rods. It's big baits. It's not finesse techniques down there, and it can just be unbelievable. And even my wife was able to pull an 11-pound bass out of there the first time mm-hmm. we ever went there. The first hour we fished the lake, my wife pulled an 11-pounder, and she still rubs that
well,
in my face.
Two quick thoughts. First of all, that'd be exhausting to catch that many fish. And secondly, does it ruin you?
It can spoil you, but, you know, we go back each and every year because of that fact. So I host trips down there, and I'm usually bringing between 12 and 24 guys down on my trips. And if anybody wants to join us down there, you know, you can give me a call or get on my website, and I'll get you in with one of my groups. We have amazing guys that go on these groups, and we just have a blast. And usually afterwards, it's nice. We spend a couple of days in Mazatlan, which is the town that we fly in and out of. Mm-hmm. So it's about an hour and a half ride to the lake, but when we get done, the package is 3.5 days of fishing, and then we usually spend 2 nights in Mazatlan afterwards recuperating
right.
from
exactly.
catching all those
exactly.
bass, because
getting a massage
tired.
yeah
mm-hmm. So it's a neat deal. So if you do want to join in on any of these trips or my groups going down, breakwatertours.com is my website, and you can join up with one of my groups. I have groups going down monthly.
Right. Well, we might be a little early, but I did talk to Finisterre, and it looks like we're on for Marlin Scramble golf fishing trip in Cabo San Lucas next year, so stay tuned for that.
This is going to be great, guys, a little golf and marlin fishing together.
And, well, we don't have a whole lot of time, but you fish a lot of different places, and maybe we'll have to talk about that. I don't know if we can have time to get into it right now, but you take people everywhere. Maybe not to India yet, but and certainly to, you know, South America and who knows where. Anyway, Jason, it's such a pleasure to have you in here, and what a great show this has been. I think we've learned a lot. We've had some very interesting people and learned a lot about fishing.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. And we are obviously Fish Talk Radio. You can also go to fishtalkradio.com. And you can also go to webtalkradio.net and listen to this show on your podcast anytime you want, and the shows are archived. So if you liked it, share it and enjoy it. This is Fish Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in.